Good morning and welcome. Good to see all of you here. Glad that you're with us. Glad we can be here together to worship God together. Let's take our Bibles, please. Open to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs 31. Today is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day. Mothers come in all shapes and all kinds. There are good moms and there are not so good moms. There are birth moms, adoptive moms, stepmoms, and even grandmoms that we call grandma. Proverbs 31 are the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. That verse, the very first verse in this chapter, sets the tone for the rest of what's in this chapter. The king recalled the words that his mother taught him. This chapter is the words of a mom who taught her son. It could very well be titled, this chapter, two words, Mom Said. And that would fit. In Proverbs 31, verses 3 to 5, it says, "Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted." In these verses, Mom warned her son. Moms do that. They warn their children. They warn us about what we eat. They warn us about how we drive. They warn us about who we're going to hang out with. They warn us about staying up too late. And the list could go on and on. But here, King Lemuel's mother warned him, number one, about relationships in verse 3. Relationships can do one of two things to us. It can either strengthen us or it can lead us into trouble. Children tend to look only at the exterior, but moms, they look under the hood. They know about attitudes. They know about character. They know about behavior. Many of us messed up because of our friends. They offered us alcohol. They offered us drugs. They dared us to do something foolish. They dared us to do something illegal. And good moms will warn their children. They'll preach to their children. They'll harp on things to their children. They will nag their children. And children will test their mothers. And good moms will take a stand for what's right. And why is that? Why do moms do that? It's no mystery. They do it because they love their children, number one. And number two, they know their children. Lemuel's mother warned her son about relationships. And she also warned him about alcohol. King Lemuel's mom warned him about drinking alcohol. Alcohol changes a person, but not for the good. There's a penalty and a price that comes with drinking alcohol. It harms the body, it harms the soul. In Proverbs chapter 23, and beginning at verse 29, the wise man asks, who has sorrow? Who has woe? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like the one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I wake that I may seek another drink? Moms know that. Good moms tell their children not to drink alcohol and that it's bad for them. And without guidance, naive children will stumble and fall. And the cost for many of them will be they'll give up on God. I come from a family where alcohol played a factor with one of my parents. And I wouldn't wish being a child in that kind of environment or circumstance. It wasn't easy. But I survived it, thankfully. My dad was an alcoholic. And he also had bipolar disorder to go along with that. And I saw him do some things that just would make your hair stand up. And I'm not going to bore you with the stories about that. As heartbreaking as it was to see him go through that, I am thankful, though, that he recovered. And that he remained sober for the last 35, 40 years of his life, which was wonderful. I know, even if the Bible didn't say what we just read, I know from experience that alcohol is not good. I learned from experience never to take the first drink. And you young people, teenagers, college, if you haven't been offered alcohol yet, I can just about guarantee you, you will. Three words to you. Just say no. And that'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. I guarantee you that. A lot of trouble. That'll save you a lot of grief. That'll save you a lot of heartache. King Lemuel remembered the words of his mom, who warned her son about alcohol. Verses 8 and 9, same chapter, says, "Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." Notice here in these two verses, twice we find the words, "Open your mouth." In these two verses, she taught her son to help other people. She taught her son it wasn't all just about him. She taught her son to be interested and active in helping other people. Moms will often volunteer their children to do that, to help other people in need. King Lemuel's mom wanted him to use his position as a king to help other people. Help the little guy, so to speak. Do what's right. Get off of the sidelines. Get off of your chair and make a difference in someone else's life. Laziness and selfishness are not the characteristics of God's people. King Lemuel's son, or his mom, advised him, taught him, don't use your position, your status to walk on other people, to ignore other people, or be so full of yourself. But you know, that's what a lot of kings do. A lot of kings walk on other people. A lot of kings ignore other people. A lot of kings are full of themselves. But this mom was building a son who was going to be different than other kings. He would have a heart of compassion. He would show kindness to others. His reign would not be by power, not be by force, but rather by leading, by example. Whatever position we have in our lives, whatever our status is in life, do it to help other people. Use our voice, open our mouth to help other people. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. King Lemuel's mom taught her son to help other people, to be selfless instead of selfish. And then, verse 10, going down through the rest of the chapter. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of his life, of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is night, yet night, and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. And she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know what these verses tell us about King Lemuel's mother? To sum it up, she wanted what was best for her son. She wanted what was best for her son. This section, of course, deals with the virtuous wife. This mom showed her son that if he chose to marry, his wife should have these qualities. Helpful, not harmful. An asset, not a liability. Someone he could trust and have confidence in. Someone who was kind. Someone who was generous. Someone who was hardworking. Someone who was involved in helping other people. You know what's interesting about these verses we just read? Not one thing is said about how that woman looked. Not one thing is said about her physical appearance. That's why I said in the beginning, moms come in all sizes and all kinds. Her appearance is really secondary to her character. And tell you something else not said here in these verses. Not only is nothing said about how she looked, there's also nothing said here about what her father did and how much money they had. But those are things our society pays a lot of attention to. Money, looks, heritage. Something else that we need to observe in these verses here. This mother told her son about who he needed to be first. That's why the chapter begins with her warning him about relationships and about alcohol and teaching him to help other people. Then after that, she talked to him about who he needed to find to marry if he decided to marry someone. And also here, something probably we don't think about, but we should. The qualities that Lemuel's mom stressed with her son here were most likely qualities that she had herself. And these verses are doable concerning a virtuous wife. King Lemuel remembered what his mom taught him. Her words and her example stayed with him. They stuck with him. They stayed in his heart. He remembered. Now, we're not told here if Lemuel's mother was still living or not. We're not told that when he recited these words. But even if she was no longer living at the time that he wrote those words, her words were. Four words that my mom wrote down before she died, and I've always remembered them and will continue to remember them. Remember the good times. And those four words have helped me a lot in coping with her passing. It's been almost 13 years now since my mom passed away. And there's not a day goes by that I don't miss her. But I remember her words. They've stuck with me, and they've helped. Decades from now, after we're dead and gone, our children, our grandchildren may remember, they may even recite some of our words. Are we leaving them good utterances, good oracles here, as Lemuel's mother did? Are we telling them things that will make a difference in their lives and that will help them in life? Are we leaving footprints for them that will lead them to heaven? Those are sobering questions we need to give serious thought to. This is a two-part lesson. This is the end of lesson one. The words of King Lemuel. Part two, lesson two. How to heal a broken heart. Some of us have broken hearts because of our mothers who are no longer alive. The Bee Gees, a long time ago, wrote a hit song entitled, "How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?" There can be a lot of different reasons that we have a broken heart. The death of a loved one, like I just mentioned. My mother passed away almost 13 years ago. The death of a loved one can cause us to have a broken heart. Divorce. The loss of a job, the loss of status, the loss of health, the betrayal by a friend, the loss of a child. Just recently here, a school teacher's in-laws and one of her children, 3-year-old, killed in a car wreck. So sad. So tragic. I can't imagine how the survivors of that family feel. Our heart goes out to them. We need to be praying for them. I don't know how they're going to deal with that. I don't know how I would deal with that, to be perfectly honest. I don't know. But all of these reasons that I've just mentioned and more can leave us heartbroken at times. There's a lot of different reasons why we have a broken heart. But even though we have these holes in our hearts, there are two verses. There are a lot of verses, but there are two verses in particular that I want us to pay some attention to. The first one's in the book of Psalms, the 147th chapter, and verse 3. A psalm of praise to God. Verse 3, God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And then a New Testament passage in Luke chapter 4 and verses 18 and 19, which is Jesus himself quoting from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, in fulfillment of prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm sure that some of those people that heard Jesus speak those words and quote that passage had a broken heart. And they may have been shocked by these words of Jesus that described his mission in fulfillment of prophecy. Because they expected a warrior, they expected a physical king to reign over a physical kingdom. They didn't expect a heart surgeon. They weren't expecting that. But Jesus set the record straight. He was not a physical king to reign over a physical kingdom, but he is a spiritual king who reigns over a spiritual kingdom. And so he came, he said, so that we can be made whole through him. Sorrow and loss are like deep wounds. They can be so painful that it seems like no one or nothing can take the pain away. And sometimes our heart is so broken that we cannot even express the words, and nothing seems to take the pain away. Like a deep wound. A broken heart's not going to heal overnight. Going to take time. So, what can we do to heal our broken heart? Now, I know with some people, they may have a chemical imbalance in their brain and they'll need some clinical help, some help from doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists and social workers. I understand that. That's helpful and needful at times. But I want us to deal with this question just from a personal point of view. Some things that we can apply that have helped me personally, and hopefully they'll help you too. Number one, recognize the obvious. Recognize the obvious. Just understand that you're hurting. Recognize the pain. And understand that that's okay to hurt. That's okay. Sometimes we seek to cover the pain by ignoring it, pretending it'll go away. No, it's not going to go away. Ignoring it's not helpful. Sometimes we seek to cover the pain with other means, by use of alcohol or drugs. I'm not talking about prescription drugs. I'm talking about illegal drugs. But alcohol and drugs don't help. You cannot ignore the pain and think it's going to go away. Can't do that. Understand that it's okay to hurt. It's okay to cry. Not long after, this was probably about a year maybe after my mom died, that song that Bette Midler sang, "The Wind Beneath My Wings." Talked about a hero. And my mom was the wind beneath my wings. And for a while, every time I heard that song, I just bawled my eyes out. It reminds me of her to this day. It was okay for me to cry. We've got to recognize the pain and understand that it's okay to hurt. It's okay to cry. I don't cry as much now since she's passed as when I did initially, but I think that's God's way of helping me to deal with it. And that leads me to the second thing that can help heal a broken heart. Seek the healer. Seek God. Just like we tell a doctor our symptoms, tell God about how much we hurt. Tell God how much we're wounded. Tell Him how much we need His healing hand, His healing touch. He hears the cries of the brokenhearted. God wants to and can heal us. Seek the healer. Seek God. That's helped me. And it continues to help me. And I know it can help you. Seek God. Seek the healer. And thirdly, reach out to others who've gone through the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Another way we can heal our broken hearts is to reach out to others, just as God has reached out to us and sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, so we can be and should be an instrument of God to reach out and help others who are in pain. By our pain, we're able to understand and we're able to help. I don't know what it's like to lose a spouse to death. I haven't experienced that. So I can't really be of much help to someone who loses a spouse in death. But I know what it's like to lose a mom to death and lose a dad. And there are others who know what that's like too and are dealing with it and have dealt with it. And that it can be helpful to reach out to them and talk to them. Jesus, our Savior, was tempted in all points like we are. He understands. He understands all that we're going through, even all of our hurts and all of our pain. And He reached out to us by giving His life so that we could be healed. Jesus wants us to open our broken heart to Him so that He can heal it. He loves us. Even with all of our baggage, even with all of our hurt. And when we grasp the kind of love that Jesus has for us, I guarantee you it's going to change us for the better. It urges us to return that love and to trust Him from our heart. When we are brokenhearted, that's not the time to run away from God. That's the time to run to Him for healing and for rest. So three things we can do to help heal a broken heart. Recognize the pain. Understand that it's okay to hurt. Seek the healer, seek God, and reach out to others. Let us be thankful for good mothers. If you haven't told your mother those three words in a while, and those three words are not 50% off, those three words are, I love you. Then tell her. And not only tell her, show her. With my mom, she lived with us, as most of y'all know, the last 6 months of her life. And of course, she didn't want to be a burden to me or Debbie or any of the family. No parent wants to be. But with all of her health issues and all of her stuff that she had to deal with, I'm glad I was able to have her around and that I could help her. If I told her once, I told her a lot. After she would say, I don't want to be a burden to you, I'd say, Mom, you're not. It's an honor and a privilege. And I'll always remember those last few months. And even though there's still some pain there and hurt, and will always be, I'm thankful that I got to do what I did for her. Let's be thankful for good moms. Let's remember their words. Let's remember their good examples. Whether they're living or not. And let us go to God who can heal our broken hearts. This morning, if you're not a Christian, understand that Jesus is the great physician who can heal you of your sins. And what that requires on your part in accepting His grace and love and mercy is to believe Him, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Him, that He's the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized, be immersed in water in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. If you haven't done those things yet to become a Christian, you have the opportunity presented to you now to do that. If as a child of God you've done things that are not right, they be of a public nature, then understand for you too that Jesus is the great physician who can heal you of your sins. Come repenting of your wrongs, confessing those wrongs, praying and ask God for forgiveness. Or if you just like to have the prayers of Christians here to pray with you and for you with whatever you're struggling with and going through in life, please understand we're here to help. God loves you, we love you, and we want what's best. And we want men and women to do what's right and to keep heaven in mind. If you're subject to the call of Christ, the invitation of Christ, we invite you to come forward now while together we stand, while we sing.